What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for October 9th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Rogue One, at Gary Whitta.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. It's been a while.
It has been. I've missed you.
I haven't even been on for 2 weeks.
God, you're
because sorry. I was out of town last week, week before you had the up-and-comers.
Yep.
And then it's been even longer since you and I hosted together, because before that, I think the last one I did was with, did a couple with Imran.
Yeah, that sounds
so
about right.
It's been about a month since you and I sat down.
Wonder Twins powers activate.
Too long.
I know.
Is this all of October?
All of October.
I love it.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Fully
thank you very
it.
Much on that.
Yeah.
Here's what I want. I want to talk about your wardrobe. This Bob's Burbank, California. Is this the burger you've been tweeting about? Because you went down to do some work the other day.
Yeah.
In LA. And
yeah.
You took a photo of a burger and you said every time. Is that a Bob's burger?
Oh, yeah. So whenever I have a meeting, I had a meeting at Warner Brothers.
Sure you did.
Warner Brothers is in Burbank.
You're making some DCEU movies, huh? You're making a Superman movie?
Practically right across, and it was a morning meeting.
Yeah.
Anytime I have like a morning meeting at Warner Brothers, Bob's Big Boy, the famous burger joint, is practically right across the street. I mean, you can literally walk from Bob's over to Warner Brothers.
Sure.
And so I usually go over there a little bit early, sit down, have myself a nice Big Boy breakfast.
Okay.
Yeah, and I had this. I actually had this T-shirt before from the you can buy them there.
Okay,
but the last one got all kind of stanked up, and it was all messy.
Sure, got some crud on it. Yeah,
bent out of shape. So I got myself a new one.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Good.
And then also, you ever been to Bob's?
I've never been to Bob's.
If you're ever in Burbank, you gotta go to Bob's.
Okay.
Home of the original Big Boy
statue,
burger, which is essentially a Big Mac, but it's far superior to a Big Mac.
Oh, okay. Good to know. The next question I had is that I saw you get these crazy pancakes in San Francisco.
Oh, and have you been to
I'm
that
pretty
place?
Sure you went back this next day.
Have
for
you been
more,
to that?
No,
have
I don't
you
know where it is.
You gotta
where
go.
It?
It's Stonestown.
Oh, okay.
It's right down the street.
Okay.
Is the line still insane?
No, because now, yeah. So when Graham first started making these crazy, so they're basically they're these Japanese style. Super fluffy souffle style.
Okay.
And I think they're made in much the same. You know, like when you go to a restaurant, if they say to you,
it's gonna take 30 minutes.
Well, they say there's a souffle on the menu, but if you want that for dessert, order it now so that you're not waiting.
Yeah.
I think that they make these souffle style pancakes in a similar fashion because you have to wait 30 minutes to get them.
Oh wow. Okay.
They take a long time to make.
Yeah.
But they're super fluffy. They melt in your mouth. Tastiest pancakes I've ever had.
Wow.
My wife and I went. And we liked them so much that a couple of days later, I took my kid back to get them.
That's awesome.
Really good.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it's right here.
It's close, I know.
And initially, it was a really long line because they were only serving the special pancakes 3 servings a day.
Okay.
But now they serve them all day long.
Okay.
You gotta go.
Kevin, we got to go get pancakes.
I'm ready when you are, dude.
All right. We'll talk about that later because right now we're going to talk about the Blitzchung Fallout, the Division update, Apex Vaults are open, and more because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday in a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames. You can give us your questions, comments, concerns, takes on the news, and everything else under the video game sun. Then tune in and watch us record it live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Will we break an embargo today? Only the people watching live will know. Then, if you're not watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, listening on podcast services around the globe, going to Rooster Teeth, all that jazz. Housekeeping for you. Remember, Nick, myself, and Andy are all headed to Toronto for EGLX. We're going to be up there October 19th and 20th. That's a Saturday and a Sunday. Saturday at 12:30, we have an autograph session you can sign up for. Saturday at 7:30 p.m., we have the Smash Brothers Royal Rumble we're doing. Nick did buy a trophy to give away to whoever wins from the Royal Rumble audience members. Sunday, 11 a.m., the Kinda Funny panel will be on the main stage, and I'm sure we will all be hungover and make you regret coming to that panel. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack and Mohammed. Today we're brought to you by Hymns and Quip, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news! 6 items on the Roper Report.
Kevin's very he had his Wheaties this morning.
He did
didn't
have his Wheaties. He knows he got to bring it. This is a huge Roper Report. It's gonna be another long, long one. That's why I had to drink the water beforehand.
Who was on yesterday?
Bruce Green.
Okay,
he did a great job.
Yeah,
yeah. But we're following up on yesterday's situation here.
Right,
the Blitzchung situation.
Yeah.
You're familiar with this, right?
Yeah, I've been following it.
I'm going to give you the first two graphs from yesterday's Roper report about this so that if you didn't listen yesterday, you'll be understanding of where we are. Blitzchung.
Previously on Kinda Funny.
Put the gun down. Blitzchung, a pro Hearthstone player from Hong Kong, ended a stream earlier this week with a statement of support for those engaged in months-long protest against local police and government. As a result of this, Blizzard has ruled that he violated competition rules and have handed out a heavy punishment. In the stream, part of the broadcast of the Asia-Pacific Grandmasters, Blitzchung wore a mask, similar to those worn by protesters, and said, "Liberate Hong Kong, revolution of our age." And that was, then we went into more and more of it yesterday, right? And talked about how they took away all his winnings, they banned him for a year, all these crazy things happening. And then the fallout from that of how, what the fuck? We thought, me and Bruce were like, this is crazy and terrible and a bad decision. Bad decision on Blizzard's part, Gary?
Awful, terrible decision.
Okay. We're going to get into now the ramifications of that and probably more with it takes. Because there's been a whole bunch of different little updates on there, all right? We're going to start with Mary Desalandre over at GamesIndustry.biz, who I'm jumping into a story she was already writing about. She recapped it like I just did. And
I like the way that you wrote her name out here in the phonetic so that you would...
I try, man.
Yeah, that's that's a good way to do it.
It's the thing when it's a new name, like, you know...
You want to get it right.
Exactly, exactly. U.S. Senators Mark Rubio, Republican Florida, and Ron Wyden, Democrat Oregon, have since both expressed their concerns concerning Blizzard's decision. Wyden tweeted, "Blizzard shows it is willing to humiliate itself to please the Chinese Communist Party. No American company should censor calls for freedom to make a quick buck." Rubio also reacted via Twitter, saying, "China is using access to market as leverage to crush free speech globally. Implications of this will be felt long after everyone in U.S. politics today is gone." Continuing on with that story from Marie. The backlash also came from Blizzard's own employees. Plaques with the words, "Think Globally" and "Every Voice Matters," displayed at the entrance of the company's HQ in Irvine, California, had been covered yesterday. Former employee Kevin Hovsted reported on Twitter. These inscriptions are part of Blizzard's 8 core values, as its mission statement clearly shows on its website. Said values state that Blizzard Entertainment is what it is today because of the voices of its players and of each member of the company. It continues, "Every employee is encouraged to speak up, listen, be respectful of others, and embrace criticism as just another avenue for great ideas." These values sit side by side with lead responsibility, among others, with Blizzard saying that, quote, "As one of the world's leading game companies, it is committed to making ethical decisions," end quote. The gaming community also reacted strongly, with moderators on Blizzard's subreddit eventually setting it to private to avoid further backlash, Eurogamer reported. It is worth noting, of course, r/Blizzard is up and running again today. The Hearthstone subreddit is still running, though, with at least one moderator deciding to step down from the mod team as they feel Blizzard is no longer a company they want to support or follow. The Taiwanese casters who were interviewing Blitzchung. Blanked on it, sorry. When he expressed his support of Hong Kong, were also condemned by Blizzard, which terminated their contracts. Talking to PC Gamer, one of them, who goes by the name Virtual, said he was just doing his job and was unaware of the fact that Blitzchung was going to wear a gas mask during the interview, a reference to Hong Kong protests, and he didn't know how to react to it. Quote, "The director only told me I have an interview," he said. He didn't talk about how he's wearing a mask, so when the interview started, I wasn't sure what the situation was. So I just thought that Chung could just say what he wanted to say. Both casters were notified that they were being fired a day later without being given any precise explanation. God's Unchained developer Immutable announced today that it would cover Blitzchung's lost prizing. Quote, "No player should be punished for their beliefs," the studio tweeted, adding that Blizzard cares more about money than it does freedom. It also offered Blitzchung a ticket to participate in God's Unchained $500,000 tournament. Immutable was the victim of a cyber attack shortly after this announcement. The Sydney Morning Herald reported, with players unable to log into God's Unchained for a few hours. It is worth noting that Chinese giant Tencent owns a 4.9% share of Activision Blizzard. So that's the first bullet point update here. There's a lot in there to unpack.
That's just getting us up to date. That's before we even start with today's latest developments.
Exactly. There's even more stuff. Do you want it all at once?
And then let's hear all of it.
All right, good, Gary. Now we're going to jump over to Kotaku, where Luke Plunkett chimes in with this. Blizzard's acquiescence, right? to the power.
Yeah, you got. I love how you check in, but
yes. I want to make sure you keep me honest. Of the Chinese government slash market has seen the company eat a lot of shit over the last 24 hours. So it was, depending on how you look at it, either the worst or most perfect time imaginable to try and broadcast the American Collegiate Hearthstone Championship.
Oh, yeah, kicked off there as well.
During
I saw this last night.
During tonight's stream of the match between Worcester Polytechnical Institute and American University, as the game came to a close, the American University team held up a banner reading Free Hong Kong, Boycott Blizz, which was visible for a few seconds before the camera hurriedly switched views and was left lingering awkwardly on the WPI players. This is Luke at Kotaku, but raising an interesting point if you're not paying attention to the calendar. If I was Blizzard and was in any way connected with anything going on with BlizzCon, the company's annual fan convention, which takes place in just 3 weeks, I would be getting a little sweaty about now. There are only so many cameras you can switch off and subreddits you can close. Then, McKenna Kelly over at The Verge has this chime in about Fortnite's response to all this. Fortnite developer Epic Games said in a statement that it will not ban players or content creators for political speech. The message comes after Blizzard caught fire this week for banning professional Hearthstone player for shouting a statement associated with the Hong Kong protesters. Quote, Epic supports everyone's right to express their views on politics and human rights. We wouldn't ban or punish a Fortnite player or content creator for speaking on these topics, an Epic spokesperson told The Verge. Gary, this is your first chance to talk about any of this. What's up?
I honestly don't even know where to start with this, Greg. I mean, the bottom line, obviously, it's absolutely appalling. And Blizzard fucked up badly. And they are now in the midst of an existential crisis of their own making. And I have no sympathy for them at all.
Yeah.
I'll be very interested, as Jason Schreier said today, I had a brief conversation with him on Twitter about it this morning. What do they do next?
Yeah, sure. I want to bring that in, actually, too, because I had seen that tweet and I went to check on it, right? Because Jason had tweeted he had heard that there was going to be some kind of conversation today at Blizzard about this. I had it open and, of course, closed it before I came out here. So I'm scrolling. Yeah, here it is. This is a response on his initial tweet thread. I heard J. Allen Brack is planning to address Blizzard's employees' concerns, although I don't know if that's going to be just for staff or the public as well. He's tweeted a few hours ago.
Well, they're obviously going to have to deal with internal messaging and external messaging because clearly people at Blizzard are not happy about this. If you're going to work at Blizzard today, it's got to be a weird vibe, right? This is obviously what everyone's talking about. The employees aren't happy. The company now is absolutely in a full-blown crisis. As I said to Jason Schreier this morning, I would be very surprised if they haven't already or are considering bringing in external crisis management people, you know, like when an oil rig blows up and there's like animals being killed left and right, you know, by oil slicks and stuff, they bring in like these expert crisis people to try and like help them. Here's how you limit the damage. Blizzard are in that deeper mess right now.
Yeah.
This is not going to go away.
No.
BlizzCon is in a few weeks.
Yes.
Well, how about that for timing?
Right.
So it looks terrible for them. But beyond just the optic, I don't give a fuck what happens to Blizzard. They shat in their own bed and now they have to lie in it. There's a big, obviously this is a, and we're seeing, I don't want to get too into the NBA, you know, the NBA have obviously been going through a similar situation recently and I think the NBA has actually done a better job of standing up to this. Blizzard completely capitulated. You know, they are 5% owned by a Chinese company. The Chinese market is a massive market. China, obviously being an authoritarian government, can just ban Blizzard games if they want. They are able to exert a tremendous amount of pressure, economic pressure on Blizzard. Because Blizzard is terrified of that, and they know that the Chinese are extremely, extremely sensitive to anything like this. You know, this is why Apple has to take the Taiwanese flag out of the emojis in iOS and all this kind of stuff, because the Chinese government, the Chinese state, is so terribly sensitive to all of this stuff that, you know, they expect these Western companies that they do business with to totally capitulate because of all the economic pressure that they can apply.
Yeah.
So what happens as a result of this is that we now in America, which is supposed to be a free country, are by virtue of China's economic ability to pressure Western companies to do what they wanted to do, we're essentially living in kind of a light version of authoritarian China right now, because even though the Chinese government doesn't have political control over us, we're not subject to Chinese law. The Chinese government can so pressure Western companies that they can do things like they can force Blizzard to exact an economic penalty on a Hearthstone player.
Right.
And they're firing the fucking casters who didn't even know what this guy...
What is
going on there?
When I was talking to Jen about it today, she knew about everything that was going on with Blitzchung. That's been talked about, right, really well. But when I brought up the fact of, like, the casters getting fired, I mean, makes zero sense to me. Of like, if I was there, if I'm get hired for some gig or whatever, and I'm talking to people, and like, someone does a Kanye, you know, George Bush hates black people thing,
yeah.
Like, I'm in trouble for that. I'm in trouble for this guy. And like the casters did, you know, put their heads down. Like
they just happened to be standing. It's like arresting. It's like I'm in a bank.
Yeah.
Making a deposit or whatever.
Yeah.
Someone comes in and robs the bank, and they fucking arrest me because I was in the bank standing next to the guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is going on? Blizzard have really, really fucked up here. I don't know if they certainly should have anticipated this. I would love to know what the origin of the decision was.
That's the problem.
If someone at Blizzard said, "Oh, I think the Chinese might be a bit worried about this. We should probably preemptively take action."
Yeah.
Or if the fucking Chinese bat phone, the hotline rang, and someone from China said,
"This
is not, you need to do something about this."
Lord of Pwn, and You're Wrong points out, keep in mind, Epic Games is 40% owned by Tencent, way more than Activision Blizzard, right? So, I mean, the fact that Epic's saying that, I know that there is a Blizzard China over there. I saw one of the things that didn't make the rundown, but Rod, the esports analyst over there, had a whole bunch of different stuff up today, and one of them being like the microblogging site that's used in China that Blizzard put out, the Blizzard China put out a statement on, was way more aggressive at the end of like, you know, we're going to support our country kind of thing. It's a weird thing of trying to figure out where the pressure came from. And I wonder if we'll never know unless somebody leaks it all to Shire eventually in terms of where the decision happened. Was this a knee-jerk reaction? Let's nip it in the bud. Was it somebody yelling at them from across the pond here? You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand where it went so awry that like somebody thought and pulled the trigger that this was the right way to do this.
It's a bigger global problem. I mean, the Chinese state is terrible, just awful. I mean, beyond what's going on in Hong Kong, you know. I mean, I'm not going to get into a long list of all the human rights abuses that the Chinese state is responsible for. In a world in which China was not so economically powerful and economically woven into the fabric of our global lives, they would be exiled just like North Korea is exiled. But because they make all our plastic shit, yeah, and our electronics, and because they are able to exert tremendous economic pressure on the world at large and cause chaos, and they have nuclear weapons, we have to tolerate them. We just ignore the fact that they harvest organs from political prisoners and do all the terrible, terrible, terrible things that we know that they do, but we tolerate them because they have a lot of money. It's disgraceful. And in a way, it's actually good that this has happened, because I think it does. Classic Streisand effect here, by the way.
100%. Blizzard. 100%.
They just made this. If they'd have just tolerated the comment and let it go, do you think we'd be talking about this today?
No. I mean, this is what we were talking about with Bruce yesterday, right? Like, if this was just a slap on the wrist, right? If Blizzard was like, listen, these are the rules here,
yeah,
which are total, yeah, bullshit, yeah, when you read them, of like, we don't want, yeah, any disrepute from you, whatever, yeah, the fuck you're talking, yeah, about. But it's like, hey, we're docking you $4,000 of your winnings or whatever, 10% of your winnings. You're banned from suspended from two games or whatever for, right, violating this one rule here.
Right.
We would have maybe talked about it yesterday, and it would have been like, oh, here's a wrinkle, and it wouldn't be what it is now, where, yeah, the hashtag boycott Blizzard.
I mean, Blizzard quoted their tournament rules, and one of the rules is something to do with, you know, you don't make political statements, yeah, or whatever. I think that's fine. Now, had they just kind of quietly issued a press release and had a conversation with the guy saying, hey, you know, technically that's in violation of the rules, here's some kind of harmless warning,
yeah,
this would have been a one-day story. They banned the guy for a year, they took away all his winnings, and now this player's saying that he's probably not going to play Hearthstone again forever.
Yeah.
And then they made him a martyr, they made him a hero of, yeah, the cause. Like, I mean, the people that run these, these people are not very smart. Do they not understand? Did no one, again, I always want to be in the room. Is there no one who puts a hand up and says, I think if we do this, we're actually going to make things 100 times worse?
Yeah.
And here we are.
Yeah. I got questions for you, Gary, of course, from the Kinda Funny community. Frank Furter is where we'll start. He wrote into patreon.com/kindafunnygames. It says, good morning, Greg and Gary, the two OGs. Shout out to anybody who cued a secession reference out of that. Yesterday, Greg and Bruce discussed what is going on with Blizzard, and then since then, a lot has happened. After everything that's happened, how does Blizzard bounce back? Can they bounce back? Or will this just be another thing we all forget about in a month once BlizzCon begins?
I mean, again, I have no sympathy for Blizzard at all, because they created this mess for themselves.
But we're getting into that same thing we always do of throwing the baby out with the bathwater, right? The fact that like all these people are, or not all these people, but people at Blizzard are putting protest signs over the values. Clearly, Blizzard.
Well, let me just say, I have no sympathy for the management at Blizzard that's responsible for this decision. I have a lot of sympathy for the people at Blizzard that don't.
I'm working on a game, and I'm super excited to reveal it in November.
Blizzard, the corporate entity, I have no sympathy for right now. This is a mess of their own making. It was a decision made. It was a craven decision made purely out of protecting their own economic interests. Is in violation of their values, which are literally written in stone outside of their building. This is why the protesting employees have covered them up, because they're so outraged.
Such a disgrace in terms of what they are and what their values are and where they
started.
And
Blizzard is supposed to be they're supposed to be one of the cool companies, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's not forget that they are in fact part of a much larger and much less cool company, and let's not forget about that. But like, I have no sympathy for them, but I don't envy the situation that they find themselves in, because now they're really caught between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
They have to address this. And
there has to be a statement.
So the NBA did this very interesting. The NBA fucked up right away, right? They kind of.
Can you bring me up to speed on this?
I'm not an expert. I didn't follow this to the same degree, but my understanding is that initially. Was it a player or a coach that made some kind of statement, Hong Kong statement? And the NBA seemed to kind of go along with the kind of the Chinese authoritarian side of it, and caught a bunch of shit. And again, you're wrong. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, because I've not followed this as closely. But the last I heard, Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, got up and did a big press conference and a press release and said, "Hey, listen, we heard you. We will always stand up for the rights of our players to express themselves and blah blah blah." And seem to be that now kind of aligning themselves more. On the light side of the force.
Yeah.
Blizzard now have a decision about what they're going to do, and again they can't win really. They either apologize and overturn the decision and say yes, we are going to stand by our we made a mistake, but we are going to stand by our values, and potentially alienate the China, or they continue to stick with their position. And potentially alienate massive quarters of their players. This is not a story that we're going to forget. I believe that this is a serious enough thing that this is now a stain on Blizzard's history. Oh. Like, this won't just go away. When we talk about Blizzard 10 years from now, we'll still be talking about the time that they fucked up here.
Let me give a quick dip a toe of what's going on with this NBA stuff, right? Because again, I'd heard about it, but I haven't followed it. And then this all happened, and I was very hung up on the gaming part of it. I'm reading from CNN.com. Phil Taylor has an op-ed, but he has a rundown of it in the beginning, right? The National Basketball Association was doing exactly that. I should read the first paragraph. It is not exactly news that in order to tap into certain international markets, U.S. businesses often choose to turn a blind eye to the policies of foreign governments that are not in line with American values. U.S. companies tend to choose profits over ideals. The National Basketball Association was doing exactly that in China, where it has profited from the burgeoning Asian interest in professional basketball.
The NBA is huge in China.
To the tune of $4 billion, U.S. dollars, while ignoring the communist government's human rights issues. But the dynamics of the NBA-China business partnership changed last Sunday when Houston Rockets general manager Daryl Morey tweeted support for Hong Kong protesters. "Fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong," Morey tweeted, triggering backlash from the Chinese government. Within hours, Morley's boss, Rockets owner, Tillman Fertitta, responded in another tweet, "Listen, D. Morley does not speak for the Houston Rockets. Our presence in Tokyo is all about the promotion of the NBA internationally, and we are not a political organization." That didn't stop Tencent, which has a 5-year streaming deal with the NBA in China worth $1.5 billion, from announcing that it would not air Rockets games until further notice. Chinese online stores pulled Rockets merchandise from their websites, and the Chinese Basketball Association, headed by national icon and former Rocket star Yao Ming, announced it was suspending cooperation with the team. And then it goes on into more stuff. So that's the good recap.
It's not good enough to say we're not a political organization. If you're doing business with a state that is committing awful political and human rights abuses, and you just ignore that inaction, that willful ignorance, is by itself taking a political stance. You're saying we're okay with this. You don't just get to play the let's not bring politics into this card. I hesitate to bring up Godwin's law here, but let's say that the NBA had been around in the 1940s, mm-hmm. and they had set up an NBA team in Nazi Germany. because the Nazis were really into basketball. And they said, oh, but we're not a political organization, so it's not really our place to get involved in that. Unacceptable. And this is unacceptable.
Of course,
it raises the bigger question. If is that so terrible, why do business in China in the first place? Simple as that. It's all right. About the money.
So are we all turning a blind eye to it as well, though?
Yeah.
How much of our stuff is made in China?
Almost all of it.
Yeah.
And that unfortunately is an economic reality which is now so embedded and so ingrained that it's almost impossible to unpick that, and we're now stuck with it.
Yeah,
that's just part of the economic fabric of the planet.
Do you think that both this NBA thing and this Blizzard thing in such close succession relationship are us turning a corner on it? Do you think that you can get loud enough to change things here?
Maybe. I mean, look, it's as simple as this. China does not get to dictate how China does not get to dictate how Western companies behave. They don't get to tell us this is the only option, of course, is to say, well, we don't want to do business with China. And the problem is when you say that, you lose millions of dollars, give away billions, and then you have to go explain that to your shareholders.
Yeah,
shareholders don't give a fuck.
Yeah, okay. So I want to bring it back to Frankfurt for a second, though. You talked about you think this will be a stain on Blizzard for a long time.
Oh yeah.
Do you think?
BlizzCon has to address this in some way. There's going to be a cloud over BlizzCon. I don't know how many people have canceled their BlizzCon tickets.
Is there a way for them to fix it going into BlizzCon, though? Do you think in the next 2 weeks they're able to put out enough statements?
I'm not a crisis management expert. I can only tell you what I think is morally right, which is to overturn this decision, admit they fucked up, and said, yeah, look, it's not a controversial political statement. Freedom is good. Maybe you shouldn't be deploying, you know, military tactics against people, you know, students and young. It's Tiananmen Square all over again.
Yeah.
This is the thing. If Tiananmen Square was happening, you might argue that it is. If it was happening again today, or if Blizzard had been in business with China during, it would have been swept under the carpet as well. Because at the end of the day, these companies, there's nothing really new to learn here. Headline shocker: companies care more about earning profits, money than what is morally right.
Right.
This guy did not make a controversial thing. You see what happened last night at the Philadelphia Sixers game?
No.
The 76ers were playing an exhibition match against the Chinese team. One guy holds up a banner that says "Liberate Hong Kong" or shouts it, and the Sixers security take him out. He has to leave.
It's fucked up, Gary.
It's not acceptable, and we are and this may, you know me, I'm prone to hyperbole. But we are, you know, we're increasingly living the tendrils and the influence of the Chinese authoritarian state extend way beyond China's borders. They extend to everywhere that China has economic interests and business dealings with. Anywhere that we can make money off China, they can exert that political influence. So we are increasingly in the world, as China becomes more powerful and globally connected and economically influential, we are all of us in the world to some extent living under Chinese authoritarian rule. That's fucked up, Greg.
100%, Gary. I want to bring in Jeff. Jeff wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, hey, Greg and Gary, happy Widow Wednesday. Greg, I was a little disappointed after yesterday's Hong Kong topic. I understand you don't follow the news or politics closely enough to comment. That's understandable. But I believe this is a lot bigger than football players kneeling for the national anthem or any other controversies lately. The Chinese government is totalitarian. The simple fact that you can disappear forever by simply having an opinion contrary to the government is all the evidence we should need. I'm fairly proud of communities like R Gaming and such as response to Blizzard, with mocking memes and cancelization of subscriptions. China also contains 1/3 of the world's population. It's a large market for the gaming industry, and they have little access to it at the moment. If that ever did open, game makers are going to have to ask themselves how much they censor their content to appease the rules of China. We saw the results of this with Rainbow Six when they were releasing in China. Content was to be removed for all countries based solely around China's rules for violence and weapons in media. Due to fan backlash, that did not end up happening. However, it's an interesting problem where art meets capitalism.
Or game, communism in this case.
Ooh, good one. Game makers are not going to want to miss out on one third of the world's population, but how much are we willing as gamers to let them restrict the art to appease a restrictive foreign government? We can vote with our wallets, but the Chinese market simply has a bigger wallet. Should we be worried that games will change due to Chinese censorship, or have faith that a majority of companies will hold on to its principles instead of cashing in?
I mean, the first one. We should be worried that games will change due to Chinese censorship. We should not have faith that a majority of companies will hold on to principles instead of cashing in. Because when in history has that ever happened?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in Gary's idealistic fucking cotton candy fantasy world,
yeah,
we would just stick two fingers up to China and say, you know what? Two thirds of the world's population is good enough to make money in. If you guys can't get your shit together, if you can't stop locking up, people for advocating freedom, or strapping people down to tables, prisoners of conscience, and taking their organs from them while they're still alive so you can sell them to wealthy Westerners that don't care where they get a liver from.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't stop doing even that, if you can't stop even those basic atrocities, how can I sleep at night doing business with you? Have fun making your own games. Have fun making your own business deals amongst yourselves. But until you can meet the basic fucking standards of human rights that the rest of the planet agrees on are the fucking floor for living on this planet and being in a global society, we're going to treat you like North Korea and you can fuck off and play in your own corner of the world. But don't ask us to capitulate and sweep our ideals and the basic fundamental, freedoms that we believe in just so that we can get some Chinese money.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it's not it's very nice for me to rant about on this little show, but it's never going to happen in the real world.
Well, the argument here would be, you're right. Obviously, big corporation is going to want to get over there and get this one third of the world's population playing their game when it's a possibility.
Yeah.
The argument would be for all of us being conscious consumers, right? And okay, cool. When we don't, if we see people like Blizzard, like we're just going to use Blizzard as an example, making a fucked up decision here today, showing their true colors on this. And again, maybe it is going to come out that it was all, hey, we were just trying to do this, trying to figure out slippery slope, blah, blah. We're sorry. We'll reinstate him. We'll give him his money. We'll do the thing. Like, what? This isn't as bad as it seems. It wasn't China's influence coming over and fucking us. It was us trying to keep a fair playing field in a world where we just want people to talk about video games, which is impossible, et cetera, so on. I think you see it right now with this reaction of boycott BlizzCon. People wrote in, of course, to You're Wrong, saying that our Blizzard, of course, isn't run by Blizzard. Mods associated with Blizzard shut it down for a while everything was going crazy. Right. That, the hashtags, the talk, it's all about backing that talk up with money. If they're backing your talk up with your own fortitude and personal investment in things. So if people are really unsubscribing from it, if you are really pulling your cards on it, you can make it known that like you're not going to stand for that shit. Then as we go forward and other companies do other things and start making other things, you have to be cognizant of that in the same Rainbow Six conversation you're having of getting down to the fact of, all right, cool. Well, if they're changing this game, I'm not going to play this game and I'm going to let them know I'm not playing this game. And it's back to like writing your congressman, but it's writing into the giant void that it can be the internet, but getting people behind a movement and then supporting the people who aren't doing that. And the independent developers who are making games and aren't going down that thing, or not even independent, like AAA developers who aren't going down this way.
Yeah, I'm just glad that Blizzard don't have any games coming up that I really care about playing, because I feel like I wouldn't in good conscience be able to play them.
Well, that's the thing with like, the WoW Classic having come out already and so many people being into it and excited about it and now having seen so many people being like, I'm not doing this.
They've got Warcraft 3 Remastered coming up. Does this also reflect on Activision, or is this solely a Blizzard issue?
It does, but it doesn't, and who knows? It's the normal thing of, it's easy to say it does. It's Activision Blizzard, right? That's the name of the fucking company. We understand how that is. I definitely, as I've exposed so many times and talked about so many times, I don't understand esports. I'm not sure how much oversight Activision has over what Blizzard's doing with its all these different fucking esports it's doing for the game and whatnot and Hearthstone and yada, yada, yada. Like, I think it does, but I don't think it does to the same extent. Like, that's the problem, is when you have a message like this and it is, again, what we're talking about, this a slice of a slice of a slice, right? Where it can be, this is all of gaming, the pie, right? And then you're talking about the people who actually play Blizzard games, the people who are actively playing and paying for a subscription to a Blizzard game right now. The pie gets smaller. So to start going broad enough to be like, I'm also boycotting all Activision games, that's when you start trying to get that wide. I think your message gets less powerful and gets lost in the weeds.
One thing that is maybe good that's come out of this is that the reaction to this has been so strenuous, and Blizzard are now in such a deep hole that it is maybe a nice little shot across the bow of any other company.
Totally.
That next time this happens, look what happened to Blizzard. Do we want that to happen to us if we do a similar thing? So, I mean, you know, and it's up to now players to put. We hear about boycotts and stuff all the time. Gamers very rarely ever follow. I remember there was a hilarious meme a few years ago when a bunch of people, there was a whole like boycott mod every year, right? Boycott Call of Duty.
Yeah.
And there was a few years ago, it was particularly bad. But then when you went to Steam and looked at everyone that was signed up, because you can like join, it's like Facebook, you can join specific groups within Steam, like sub communities, and everyone in the boycott mod Call of Duty group on Steam. It'll show you what they're currently playing, and they're all fucking playing Call of Duty. So, these things often don't have teeth. People, make a lot of noise online and then secretly just go and play the game.
But see,
it's up to gamers now to really vote with their wallets, cancel their pre-orders, cancel their BlizzCon tickets, vote, you know, and really keep the pressure on the Blizz so they understand just how badly they fucked up.
You're 100% right, and I feel like, and I'm, you know, I know I'm too vanilla for so many people all the time. This is what we're talking about, though, and why when you start a boycott hashtag because you're mad about the Spec Ops, one mode in Spec Ops not coming to anything but PlayStation for a year, right? You know that boycott's not going to pan out. You know, certain people aren't going to buy the game and be mad about it, sure. When we get then to real life, really fucked up shit, where we do need to, as an industry, stand up and be like, no, we're not going to fucking do that. It is so hard to be like, cool, is this the time it's going to work because we're all actually fired up about this? Or is this the time that's been like every other time where it's just that everybody's going to talk the talk, but then nothing's happening?
I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, time will tell. And
I have no money to take away from Blizzard because I don't play their games,
right?
The story
is a moving target right now. Again, Blizzard have to respond, so I'll be fascinated to see what the nature of the response is. My guess, they will put out a bullshit word salad statement that's been cleared through their corporate lawyers, you know, that will attempt to placate people, in trying to please everyone will end up pleasing no one. That's my prediction. And like I said, it's down to gamers to hold their feet to the fire over this. This is not a both sides issue. If you follow this discussion, it's not like there's another side of this where people are going, well, you know, Blizzard have to protect their economic interests. No one's saying that. This is a tidal wave of people all in agreement that Blizzard really fucked up.
Yeah.
So they I don't know. I can only assume they didn't expect things to be this bad. Otherwise, they wouldn't have done this. They now have to find a way to unpick the peanuts out of this massive shit that they have laid on their own doorstep. And I wish them the best of luck, because I think fundamentally I think Blizzard is Blizzard is one of the great, because they've always made great games. I do think that they fundamentally do have strong, good, positive values.
Yeah.
On this one, in this instance, they betrayed those values.
Yeah.
And now they have to figure out where they go from here.
But you back to being like this being a mark on them, this being a besmirchment, right? Like, it does come down now of like, cool, this is literally, it's always easy to say you have these values.
Yeah.
Now it's time to actually live. Fucking sand for them.
Yeah. You got to live the values. And I'm hoping, here's the thing, it's not too late for them to fix this. I don't think they're going to do what is necessary.
If I'm Blitz Chung and they're like, all right, sorry, here's your money back, you can play again, blah, blah, blah. Do I want to? And like, you know, and especially when I do, I'm wearing a fucking Free Hong Kong shirt.
I guess, but I mean, you know, I personally believe that it's never too late for redemption or for contrition. And the NBA has, I've not been following it closely, but as I understand it, the NBA has won back a lot of goodwill after their initial fuck up. The NBA as a league stood up and said, we're on the side of people that think freedom is good, and that one of those freedoms
one of those freedoms
is the freedom to say freedom is good regardless of who you might be in business with. Again, it's not a controversial thing. There's no controversy here. It's not like there are two sides arguing over whether or not Blizzard fucked up. Everyone knows they fucked up. Blizzard knows they fucked up, and there will be internal investigations at Blizzard. They're going to have to do a whole postmortem to make sure this doesn't happen again. Like I said, this is a really, really, really bad look for Blizzard. Really bad.
Really bad.
Yeah.
When you were wrong before we get out of here, Nanobiologist points out that I said Mark Rubio, when in fact it is Marco Rubio. I apologize.
Little Marco, yeah.
Let's move on. 40 minutes into the show to a still jam-packed Roper
I'm glad
report.
We talked about that, though, because I do think it's 100%, an important issue.
No, dude, are you kidding me? 100%. Like, no, full stop. I'm glad we spent that much time on it. And I also like the fact that we sat here and we don't know the NBA thing. Looked it up. Right. You know what I mean? Like, this show and what we do is never, we know everything and we're coming down from the mountaintop. It is very much like we're going to learn through and figure this out together and come up with thoughts together.
Everyone has to make their own choice. I had an opportunity, I won't go into the details, but I had an opportunity recently to get paid a lot of money making a movie that would have been financed by Saudi Arabia. Oh, and I told them to fuck off.
Yeah,
because how do I sleep at night?
Yeah,
so sometimes the money's just not worth it, Greg.
I hear you.
And I wish more people, the top of the economic food chain, believed that. Yeah. The problem is, the more money you get, the more you like it, and the harder it is to say no to it.
Yeah, that's why I never want any.
There's that. I don't know if we talked about it, but there's that. Maybe we did. There was that great piece in Scientific American. There was a study a few years ago about how the richer you get, the more insulated you become from basic human needs, and your you have less empathy. It's not true in every case.
Sure.
People say, well, what about Bill Gates? Well, Bill Gates is fucking great.
Yeah.
But in a lot of cases, the richer you get, the more money is all you care about. Do you think Bobby Kotick has ever gone into a meeting with Tencent or any of his Chinese investors and said, we got to talk about these human rights abuses. This is not cool. I'm not personally comfortable with this. Do you think it's ever happened? Of course not.
I don't think so. Probably not. No.
No. He only cares about one thing. How much fucking money am I getting paid?
Yeah.
I'll look the other way no matter what. You want to chop someone up on the table here right now? I'll step outside for a minute.
Plausible as long as
there's
liability.
A big fucking bag of money on the table when I get back.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on.
Number two. Gary, maybe this will cheer you up. There's a massive Division 2 update coming next
Ooh.
Week.
Ooh. Are we still... I've stopped playing it.
Well, yeah, but that's why they put out the updates and the free content.
To bring me back.
Exactly.
Okay.
Today, Ubisoft announced October 15th as a release date for its latest content update for the live open world game Tom Clancy's The Division 2. Title Update 6 highlights The Division 2's biggest title update to date for players, featuring Episode 2, Pentagon, The Last Castle, and a variety of gameplay improvements. Episode 2 is available for year 1 pass holders on October 15th, October 22nd for all the other players. All changes and improvements, including conflict and new PvP mode, is available for all players on October 15th. Content featured in Episode 2, Pentagon, The Last Castle, includes two new main missions, one at the Pentagon and the DARPA research labs, a new technician specialization, classified assignments, which are exclusive to year 1 pass holders. The latest title also brings an unprecedented number of fixes and improvements, as well as a brand new PvP mode. Some of these fixes and changes are targeted loot crafting changes, recalibration changes, inventory management 2.0, increased stash space. As part of Ubisoft's commitment to the overall fixes and improvements to the game, the Division 2 second raid will be delayed. The additional time allows the development team to focus on the overall quality of the Division 2 while developing a raid that will better meet the standards of its players. For more information regarding the decision, you can look to a letter that's over on the Ubisoft news thing. Plus, though, there's a free weekend. You're going to be able to play The Division very soon for free and get into it that way. Gary, do you plan on coming back for any of this?
I was just about to say, I love that they support these games over a long period of time now, and there's all these new content updates, and there are many reasons to come back. I don't know about you, but like once I drift away from a game,
yeah.
I often find it difficult to come back.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, how do you reignite that interest?
Yeah.
I get it. New content presumably is the answer, but like, I don't know. I just kind of feel like I moved on from that game, and I don't know. I want to play the next thing.
I hear you.
If you're really, really, really into The Division 2, then you're going to stick around.
Yeah, but I definitely, next week when it drops, plan on jumping in, just like with the last one. But the last one was a night of play, and then I was like, oh, gear score isn't any higher, so I'm bouncing.
Right.
Because again, remember how hard the raid is.
Yeah.
Where I was like, all right, cool. I don't want to come back and play the raid until I am so overpowered. And I know they added like an easy mode. I want to play it on normal and get the trophy.
Right.
I want to come in and kick the teeth out of it. So I don't know if this is doing anything to gear score or if that's been balanced any differently, but I'll definitely jump in and play the little missions here and there. Number three on the Roper Report, a man has been caught stealing from Valve. This is Rebecca Valentine over at GamesIndustry.biz. A man is being summoned to appear in court in Washington after breaking into Valve last month and stealing over $40,000 of games and equipment. According to local news station Cairo 7, 32-year-old Sean Chaputis, already had 6 warrants out for his arrest when Valve brought burglary charges against him in September. He has since been captured on camera selling stolen games at GameStop. Should he fail to appear in court, another warrant will be issued. Police say Chaputis is the same suspect who stole a FedEx truck in July and was caught just 1 week after being arrested in a different string of burglaries.
Sounds like a real pillar of society, Greg.
Dude, he sounds like a Batman Rogues villain. How does he keep getting out of Arkham and they keep doing this? Right? We got him. But Chaputis is, you know, we put him away and then he's back out there stealing more shit. Fuck. Light the bat signal. We got to take him down. Then number 4 on the Roper Report, Apex Vaults have opened up. This is Riley McLeod at Kotaku. Kevin, can you Google this? I didn't put the source on it. Sorry.
That would be McLeod.
Oh, would it be?
Yeah, I know it's not pronounced that way, but yeah.
It
would say McLeod.
Oh, sorry, Riley McLeod. Since the start of Season 3, Apex Legends map has been dotted with locked vaults full of high-tier loot. A countdown timer suggested they'd open at 1 p.m. Eastern today, but players are reporting they're open now. Here's how to get inside. There are 3 vaults on the map, one near Lava City, one near the train yard, and one near the geyser. All 3 will appear on your mini-map once you get a key. Keys have a chance to drop from loot drones when you shoot them down. It seems the keys drop from drones that have a red tile. The color of the drone when you shoot it doesn't appear to matter. Vaults take a few seconds to open. Inside, you'll find some fancy loot, which you can see through the door. In the video below, of course, on whatever site. Which site is it, Kevin?
I believe it's Kotaku.
It is Kotaku?
I think so. Double-check.
Thank you. So we'll say on Kotaku they have a video. A player finds some gold and purple armor and purple attachments. That's neat. I like when there's stuff that's teased in the game that eventually does something in the game. You know what I mean? You've been running around Apex this long. You've seen these things. Hey, it's a big deal. They're finally opening.
Right, right.
You ever play Apex?
No.
No, never got into it.
Kind of over Battle Royale.
Yeah.
Maybe the right game can bring me back into it. I'm kind of, I know, the Ground War, the Modern Warfare Ground War seems kind of interesting, like 32 on 32. That could be a fun way to go.
Okay.
But the whole Battle Royale Last Man Standing thing, I enjoyed it for a while. I played PUBG, you know, pretty incessantly for about a year.
If memory serves, you were one of the top streamers of PUBG back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
You had a lot of breakouts.
Right up there with Shroud and Grimms and those guys. No, I was never good enough at it. Maybe I would like Apex if I played it.
I just like cool events like that, where something that's been there forever is finally opening up.
Yeah, it's good.
Number 5, Monster Hunter is getting some cool updates. This is Heather over Kotaku. In a video today, Monster Hunter World's developers outlined a few changes coming soon. The terrifying ape monster, Rajange, is on the horizon. And there will be changes to Gilding Lands, Iceborne's, and Game Zone. There will even be tempered monsters, including a gold version of Rathina? The series flagship Worven. But the most exciting feature, I think, will be the ability to craft layered armor, which I agree with. Layered armor is a special cosmetic armor that has no stats but allows players to use that armor's appearance while wearing whatever armor pieces you want underneath.
More games should do this.
Transmogrification. This is what we talked about when it was such a big deal in the first month when Assassin's Creed Odyssey added this.
Well, so my wife has had a real issue with this in that 100%. Often she really, really cares about the way her character looks.
Yeah.
But often there's a trade-off between, well, the best armor statistically looks fucking horrible, so I don't want to wear it. I want to look like this, but that armor doesn't have the best stats.
100%.
So this basically lets you have the best. You can wear the best armor, but still look the way you want to look. All games should have that feature.
100%. Yeah. So that's getting added here. Basically, all of these updates are coming next week, including the monster's arrival tomorrow. While the new layered armor system won't have every armor set to start, it's a step in the right direction, giving players a feature they've demanded for a long time. If you have a favorite early armor set but don't want to ruin it, you carefully crafted high rank gear, you finally have the chance to look the way you want. And then, number 6, and finally on the Roper Report, the Washington Post has announced and launched, or getting ready, it's coming up soon, Launcher. The Washington Post today unveiled Launcher, a new section dedicated to video gaming, esports competitions, and gaming culture. Debuting October 15th and sponsored exclusively by Geico, Launcher will feature insightful analysis into the people, companies, teams, and trends that comprise an industry becoming more and more prevalent in society every day. Mike Hume, editor of Launcher, will lead a staff consisting of Gene Park, reporter, Elise Favis, formerly of Game Informer, reporter, and Mikhail Kilmentov, editor. Launcher will include the following feature stories about the way influential voices and events are pushing gaming into the forefront of our culture, updates on the latest video gaming trends such as streaming, in-game economics, and the expansion of esports leagues, big picture coverage of competitive gaming top leagues and events, tips and tricks, from programmers and streamers for from titles ranging from Fortnite to Zelda, breakdowns of gameplay updates, tweaks, and new designs introduced in popular titles, and reviews of the biggest titles and spotlights of indie offerings. That's great news, Gary. We're always talking about things closing. We're always talking about people recovering video games getting laid off and closing. Here we go.
I like that. And more legitimate coverage in mainstream outlets like the Washington Post can only be a good thing.
Goes a long way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Gary, I got a question about all this from the lawn biologist. Are you ready?
Yeah.
He writes in and says, "Hello, Greg and Gary. I take care of lawns with lawn care and lawn care accessories, but I'm a huge gamer and I am very excited for next year with all the games that have been announced and pushed to 2020. And I cannot wait to find out how much I will have to spend with the next generation of systems. But if I wanted to know what games came to the mom and grops today shops, where would I go?"
What, are you outsourcing the segues now?
I like to keep you on your toes. This is an old Beyond reference that doesn't happen much anymore.
What's the reference?
I side in a question there that somebody thinks is going to be a normal question.
Yeah, because I mean, with the law, I was actually hoping he was going to talk more about lawn care. That was interesting to me. Yeah. That went nowhere.
It went there. You're supposed to go, I'm sorry, the official
list. Threw in this whole thing about lawns. Okay, interesting. There's a guy who knows
how
lawn
to swerve,
care.
Man. They know how to swerve.
What possible, what could this yield?
Gary got God, everybody.
You dangled the lawn care carrot.
Look at the camera. Give him the one again. I need Corey. I need you to have a Gary.
Which one am I on?
This is a gif.
The one in this one here?
I need a Gary got God gif of him getting got right there. Look at him getting got. What a he got God. Got big time.
You dangled the lawn care carrot and then you yanked it away from
what
me.
What I do.
The official, I'm gonna read this in like the most uninterested way possible.
Opposed to when you
Hey, I usually
I'm kidding.
Kevin got him, he got again, everybody.
Why is everyone getting me today? I don't like it.
You're great, Gary, you're great.
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. I'm going to slip in our sponsors here. A sponsor like Hims. Have you noticed Andy and Nick's hair is looking better? Of course you have. And that's because they use Hims. The problem is that 66% of men start losing their hair by the age 35. And once you notice thinning hair, it can be too late. Why do guys turn to weird solutions that do nothing when they can turn to medicine and science just like Andy and Nick did? They went to 4hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims is helping guys be the best version of themselves with licensed physicians and FDA-approved products to help treat hair loss. These aren't snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. These are prescription solutions backed by science. No more awkward in-person doctor visits or long pharmacy lines. 4hims connects you with real doctors online, which could save you hours. It's completely confidential and discreet. You answer a few quick questions, a doctor will review it, and if they determine it's right for you, they can prescribe you medicine to treat hair loss, and it's shipped directly to your door. My listeners can get started with the Hims Complete Hair Kit right now for just $5 while supplies last and subject to a doctor's approval. See the website for full details and safety information. This could cost hundreds if you went to a doctor or a pharmacy somewhere else. Go to 4hims.com/gamesdaily. That's FORHIMS.com/gamesdaily. 4hims.com/gamesdaily. Our other sponsor is Quip. We're all using Quip here at Kinda Funny. You know it because we talk about it all the time because we legitimately love the toothbrush. And that's because it's the best toothbrush out there. But what actually makes for a better toothbrush? Industrial strength power, claims of miraculous trendy ingredients, multiple modes. If you ask your dentist, they'll tell you it's less about the brush and more about how you use it. That's why Quip was created by dentists and product designers to focus on what actually matters for your oral health. Healthier habits. Quip's sensitive vibrations with a built-in 2-minute timer guide gentle brushing for the dentist's recommended 2 minutes, with 30-second pulses ensuring an even clean. Quip automatically delivers brush heads to you every 3 months for clean and new bristles right on schedule. The sleek, intuitive design is simple to use and comes with a travel cap that doubles as a mirror mount. Good habits matter to a healthier life, so help form fresh oral health habits with Quip. Quip starts at just $25, and you'll get your first refill free at getquip.com/games. This is a simple way to support our show and start brushing better. But you have to go to getquip.com/games to get your first refill free. Right now, go to getquip.com/games. Can't believe you got twice. Embarrassing. This will be a date we'll always remember. Out today, Draw a Stickman Epic 2 on Xbox One, Dragon Star Varnir on PC, Stellatum on Xbox One and Switch, Bloxel, but it's like blocks with an L then, Richard the Third.
Are any of these actually real games? I don't believe that any of these are actually real.
That's on
what
PC
the hell is Bloxel Richard the Third? What the fuck is that?
Kevin, I want to see a trailer for Blocks. Yeah, can
you
pull
Kevin? Can you pull that, please? I honestly don't believe it's real.
Morrock is on PC. Heroes of Hela's Origins is on Part One. I'm sorry, is on PC.
Now this next one,
Ghoul Britannia, Land of Hope and Gory, a point-and-click adventure where Brexit triggers the zombie apocalypse, is in early access for Windows, PC, and Mac.
I might have to pick that up today.
Yeah, yeah. Lunchapalooza is now in Steam early access. Mario Kart Tour. Or Mario Kart World Tour. Got some updates, too. Here's what that is. Racers from Mario Kart Tour are headed to Tokyo. The Tokyo Tour is available in Nintendo's new mobile game until October 22nd. Players can now race through the new Tokyo City course, as well as additional classic Mario Kart courses from previous entries in the franchise. In addition to the recently announced Wario and Rosalina, even more familiar faces are joining the race during the Tokyo Tour, including Baby Rosalina and Bowser Jr. The two spotlight drivers for the Tokyo Tour are Peach in a kimono, who can be obtained until October 15th, and Mario in a hakama, who can be obtained until October 15th to the 22nd. Both are dressed to impress in traditional Japanese wear for the Tokyo Tour.
So the Bloxall Richard III does actually look like a very serious grognardy,
you know, PC. It's not the original game.
This is just hell for you, isn't it, Greg? Like, so this, if you went to hell, like, oh my God, this would be these would be the games that Satan would make you play.
But you can also customize it to be good. It's bad music.
Also, interesting that there's either a typo, because the game seems to be called, let's see, it's Blocks.
Oh, it's Blocks, Richard III? Mark.
Okay, so it's Blocks. Yeah, Blocks all didn't sound right. Richard III, Blocks.
But, I mean, when you look it up...
It's Blocks exclamation
mark. Oh, Blocks exclamation point. Okay.
It must have just gotten, garbled.
It looks exactly like the kind of hardcore turn-based strategy game we used to review on PC Gamer all the time.
That definitely seems like a PC.
I had a guy that did all that for me, because those games just drive me nuts.
New dates for you. Lovecraftian action RPG Dark Devotion is coming to Switch and PlayStation 4 October 24th. Deliver Us the Moon is on Steam and Windows PC October 10th. Harvest Moon Mad Dash will be released digitally on the Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4 across Europe on October 29th for the
new Harvest
version,
Moon,
November 15th. But it's like Mad Dash. Doesn't seem like it's a core one. Deals of the day for you. Xbox Game Pass is updating its PC offerings this month to include the following: F1 2018, Lonely Mountains Downhill, Minute, The Outer Worlds, Saints Row 4 Reelected, State of Mind, and Stellaris.
Great opportunity to play Saints Row 4 if you never played it.
You're a big fan of that, right?
One of the all-time greats.
Yeah. Continuing with deals, Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment and NetherRealm Studio will be offering a free weekend trial of Mortal Kombat 11 on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One from October 11th through the 14th. It includes all the multiplayer game modes, the first two chapters of the cinematic story mode, full base game roster of iconic characters, and you can preview the recently added combat fighters within the Towers of Time mode, including the Terminator T-800 from the upcoming movie Terminator Dark Fate.
What do you think about Dark Fate? Isn't it going
to
be good?
No, but I'm excited to see it. We're doing Terminator in review. So I'm excited to watch. It's just T1, T2, and then this new one.
You're not going to bother with the other one.
Well, no. This is the timeline. We're doing the timeline. You know what I mean? So I'm super stoked to see Terminator 1 and Terminator 2 again.
Always should be.
My nostalgia will be all perfect.
I really want to believe, because Cameron is involved, that it's going to be good. But like, the trailers have not excited me.
No, the trailers have not excited me either. But is Edward Furlong back? Is that confirmed? Or
I think he might be for 2 seconds or something.
That's fine with me, man. Totally fine to see him. What's up, John? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
See, it's the same way I always get excited for a Terminator film. I'm like, I don't hold out hope this will be good, but I'm excited to see the Terminator do stuff and melt stuff and have his face torn apart, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see I'm interested to see it. Okay. But I wish I was more, I'm not super optimistic. I feel like I should
be. I'm not optimistic, sure. Eddie at GameSpot has more deals today for you. He writes, Red Dead Redemption 2 is coming to PC on November 5th, and you can finally pre-order it. As scheduled, Rockstar opened Red Dead 2 pre-orders today, October 8th, through the recently launched Rockstar Games launcher. The game will be available on other stores later, but for now, Rockstar's own PC store is the only place to pre-purchase the acclaimed Western on PC. Rockstar is sweetening the deal by offering a range of bonuses for pre-purchases. Those who pre-order the Rockstar Games, pre-order on the Rockstar Games launcher by October 22nd will get their choice of 2 free games. The choices include some great Rockstar games, including the following: GTA 3, GTA Vice City, GTA San Andreas, Bully Scholarship Edition, LA Noir The Complete Edition, Max Payne 3 The Complete Edition. Additionally, everyone who pre-buys Red Dead Redemption 2 on PC through the Rockstar Game Launcher gets a variety of in-game bonuses, including content across the Story Mode and Red Dead Online. This includes the following: Outlaw Survival Kit for Story Mode, Warhorse for Story Mode, Le Trésor des Morts Treasure Map for Story Mode, Cash Bonus for Story Mode, 50 Gold Bars for Red Dead Online. Finally, still more. Red Dead Redemption 2 pre-orders through the Rockstar Launcher effectively get a $20 upgrade. You can't currently buy the standard edition. Instead, buying the $60 version will net you the special edition that normally costs $80. While opting for the $80 price point, we'll get you the Ultimate Edition, which is typically priced at $100.
Like a pretty good deal, all in all.
They're trying to get you to, as usual, use our launcher.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, and there's plenty of incentive for
don't
sure.
Worry about
you get
Epic,
a couple of
don't
free games,
Steam.
All this bonus stuff. You get a special edition for regular edition price. I like it.
Now, sorry. Go ahead.
So, okay, so Red Dead Redemption will be available later from Epic Games. And a bunch of, it says like, but it's not on Steam. Okay, the game is also coming to Steam, but not until December. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You can get it other places. Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody, I think I read somewhere today it was it's 150 gig install. That's a big ass game.
But I mean, you're all on your PC motherships, right? You got gigabytes.
Yeah,
to
I mean the PC that I just built has a 2 terabyte SSD.
I hate to stop you. The PC that you just built.
Yeah.
Credit where credit's due.
Well, I supervised.
I feel like you just sat there and Will Smith built it for you.
Well, no, I mean,
Will Smith.
We built it together. And, you know, let's not quibble over who did the lion's share of the work.
So, yeah,
it was very much a collaboration.
Okay. Did you collaborate looking at your iPhone, talking to him every so often?
Nice new PC, by the way.
Yeah.
PS5, you're having a laugh.
you say things so
maybe
cool.
By the PS6 or the PS7, you'll be up to where I currently am with my new PC.
Wow. But see, it's what I love about console gaming is that it's very much like everything we're talking about with China, where we're going to hold you back. You know, I mean, people can't make games for you that'll be like, oh, look at all the bells and whistles. They're going to have to port it over from like the popular places. And so you'll be held back to like what the restrictions are for me.
I guess, but like the PC version's always still going to be the best version.
Well, sure, but again, but if you're held back by the PlayStation totalitarian government, there you go. Got again!
Kevin's loving this. Kevin's like fucking salacious crumb over there.
Yes. Yeah, that is just what Kevin. Sitting, that is 100% what Kevin is like. Reader mail, let's give you this one. The virtual boy wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygamesdaily and says, no, that's not right. Kind of Funny Games. And says, hello, GG. This morning, Nibel on Twitter brought to my attention an article from PC Games N about the VP of engineering over at Google Stadia saying Google Stadia will be faster and more responsive than local gaming in 1 to 2 years. Maybe. Also, I'm adding that in. You're taking some liberties here. I didn't make the Roper report because it's just somebody bolstering about what something they want you to buy, but I hear you. The way they are claiming to make this possible is via negative latency, which effectively means that the cloud streaming service might mitigate or will mitigate lag using various techniques, one of which is the use of predictive button presses. Stadia will essentially predict what button you are going to press it for you in the end. What do you guys think of this? To me, this is a bonehead idea that could only have been created by someone who doesn't really play games. One of the worst feelings in games is when you feel like you're not in complete control of your character, and they're trying to sell it as a feature. Thanks, the Virtual Boy. I saw this making the rounds today. I went over there and I read the quote or whatever. Like, we're working on it. We think it'll be better than certain systems in, you know, 1 to 2 years. Didn't put in the Roper report because, again, it's just somebody out there marketing, talking. But also, I saw so many people getting all riled up in a tizzy about this and then showing the telltale stats of, like, you know, this, you chose this and this many people chose this. And yeah, I think everybody should pump their brakes. I don't think it's literally going to be that, like, most people put X here, so we're going to press X for you. I don't know. I don't fucking understand how streaming technology works at all. I've been using Remote Play for the last week. Pretty impressive, Gary.
So the game will predict when I want to pay respects and do it for me.
I think everybody's getting whipped up about
how
this.
How will it know if I want to pay respects?
It won't. That's why I want to do that.
Maybe I don't want to pay respects.
I think it's going to be, when it talks about predictive, it's got to be something of like a hot button thing of like when you put the lightest pressure on that button. And this is me as an idiot trying to figure it out. I don't think it's going to be the games are going to play themselves.
As I've said before on the show, based on what I've seen and what I know, I remain very pro Stadia. I do think Stadia is going to meet or surpass expectations. My guess, and again, we'll come back and record this clip and come back and throw it in my face if I'm wrong. I've been wrong plenty of fucking times before. But my guess is that in when Stadia rolls out, people are going to be saying, huh, fucking, hey, they fucking did it. It basically, it works. They basically, it's doing what they said it was going to do.
Yeah.
And people are going to be impressed by it. I don't think they're helping themselves by saying it's going to be faster and more responsive than local gaming. How is that even possible?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Science, according to
Kevin. And the predictive button presses, yeah, that does sound, that sounds
can't
fucking,
be what we think
that
it
sounds
is.
Bananas.
That's not, then, no, I can't believe that, and I refuse to believe it, and I refuse to spread
that, I mean, that sounds like
lies,
an,
that the
sounds
virtual
like
boy.
A, sounds like a bad April Fool's, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway, indeed. Gary, it's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you. Everybody plays games together. Today, Hiram Reed is looking for help on Xbox or PlayStation 4. Username on both of them is StrikeBurst480, all one word. Hi, Greg and Gary. I recently started playing a turn-based strategy fantasy football game called Blood Bowl 2 again, and I would like some best friends to play with. I would prefer Xbox, but have it on PlayStation 4 as well. Hit me up if you would like to play some Blood Bowl. Parentheses, I would be willing to teach if you haven't played before. Strike Burst 480 on both consoles. Thanks.
He must really like Blood Bowl 2 if he's got it on both consoles.
It's one of those where it almost reads like a joke, but I'm like, it's too funny not to. You know what I mean? You don't hear anybody talk about Blood Bowl, and here we go.
Well, just because someone's not playing the hit game of the week doesn't mean that they're not valid.
Oh, I know that.
People out there playing weird shit all the time.
Oh my god, all those weird panty games on the Vita and the
panty games.
Yeah, where you're rubbing the girls. You know what?
I have got no idea, Greg. Educate me.
Oh man,
seem to know all about them.
Trust me, I had the collector's edition for a little while floating around here. If you look around here, there's some girl panties floating around here.
Don't say it that way.
But that's what they. Am I wrong?
I'm just saying. Don't say it that way.
Which
know?
One was it? God, I always want to say.
It was gun something.
Galgun. When it came to the Switch, yeah, you shoot the girls with this Euphoria gun. And then they like, but it's not Euphoria. They're orgasming pretty hard there. And here's
Blood Bowl. Now we're looking at Blood Bowl 2. I thought he was going to pull up one of these panty games.
Well, there's the Let's Play on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. You can go watch anytime you want. Don't worry about it. I'll send you a link.
What is it? So it's like the NFL,
it's
but with
strategic
monsters.
Strategic football.
Okay.
But with ogres.
It looks kind of fun.
Does
Hi, Rumory. Do you work for the people who made Blood Bowl?
I feel like he does.
It's time to check in on your wrong. Remember, if people are watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames.
Yeah, let's see what we got wrong.
They can go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what.
Because
up.
I feel like there's a chance we got some things wrong.
Well, the Blizzard stuff, it was more people popping in, right? So it was like me explaining what was going on there, right?
Gary get got again.
No, I don't think he's gonna get got again. Well, you know me, he might though.
You never know. Day I'm having.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of editorializing on. People want to say things we said or talking to what's going on here. Borzen's 00 says, yes, Red Dead Redemption 2 on PC has a 150GB HDD space requirement. Breaking news from Lord of Pwn, Rocket League's fall event, Haunted Hollows, was announced and is coming on October 14th. It's got a Stranger Things-inspired trailer that debuted
I today, love so. It when games do Halloween events. It's one of my favorite parts of the season.
Yeah, so you
see, I imagine they still do it, but I used to love it. Every October, Team Fortress 2 gets all Halloweened up. And now all games do it. You know, well, pretty much all games have Halloween events.
That's true. They should.
I love it.
If you're a live service game and you're not doing a Halloween event,
no, you gotta
you're doing
do
it wrong.
You got to do it.
The final boss fight does get Gary. Gary, fine. When I'm playing The Last of Us Part 2 and your system crashes playing solitaire because your Titan 2080 Ti driver clashed with Intel's Sky Lake refresh, I'll be the last one laughing.
I wouldn't be seen dead with a Titan with a 2080 Ti. I've got a Titan RTX, most powerful graphics card on the market. Thank you very much.
Well, I see your car doesn't work, so I'm not too happy with your PC.
If only my car was as reliable as my PC.
I don't know.
Everybody, do me a favor.
Did we get him?
Oh, we got him right there. Give me that gift too, Corey. If only my car was reliable as my PC. And then everybody be on Widow Watch. And as soon as he bitches on Twitter about his fucking PC doing whatever the fuck it did, it's spitting out memory cards. I don't know.
I will say that every time I've had a self-built PC, or like I've had Will or Greg Wiedemann or other people in the over the years, they do always fuck up eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't everything though?
And Will got himself in. I'm actually gonna have him come on the stream soon and talk about the techniques that he employed on the build, because Exactly what I happened, I thought would happen, happened. He built the PC, I posted some pictures of it, and people start coming out of the woodwork. Oh, he's got the fans in wrong, and you shouldn't do it this way. Everyone's like,
everybody's,
you know, on Monday morning quarterbacking your build. In many ways, Greg, and I am an advocate of PC gaming, and I love PCs, and I was the editor of PC Gamer, but I'm now much more platform agnostic, as you know. I go wherever the games are. I'm not a console warrior. I'm not PlayStation this or Xbox that. I just, wherever the games are, that's where I go. And that includes on the PC. But you're not, and I give you a lot of grief about you giving me grief about TurboTax and, you know.
It's the joke. It's the bit.
Yeah, it is literally the joke. That's the one joke that you have is the TurboTax joke.
Minesweeper 2, don't forget.
That's a good one too.
You're not wrong. PC games and PC gaming are often a lot of grief and a lot of hassle. And, you know, the problem is that these days, PC console games are increasingly becoming a lot of grief and a lot of hassle. You know, it's a lot of the same shit that you have on PC. It takes fucking forever to install the thing. Then you got to get the update.
Sure.
You know, games.
But it's so rare that my video card and my console doesn't communicate with whatever, and I don't have sound out of this port, and nobody knows why.
No, there's that only where your IRQ driver is clashing with your, you know, trilinear flip-flopping on your graphics card or whatever.
Yeah.
And that is annoying. But look at, for example, I was watching some videos this week because I was interested in Ghost Recon Breakpoint.
Sure.
I thought maybe, I like the Tom Clancy games. Maybe I'll check this out. I watched a couple of videos and that game launches broke as shit. Because in the days of, we talked about this many times before, in the days of release now, patch later, they're basically putting out PC games that are buggy and broken and don't work.
Yeah,
and
PC,
have weird glitches.
Honestly, you guys seem to get the short end of the stick a lot lately. In terms of, yours is the one that's like Borderlands 3, like, fucking Epic Cloud saves are just eating fucking saves and ruining stuff and things.
It's,
like,
I mean, it's a hard rule to live by because, of course, you do want to play the hot new games right when they come out. But basically, if you want to live a life of peace and tranquility, don't buy games right when they come out because they're almost always broken at launch. Give it a couple of months. Just live like a couple of months behind everyone else.
That'll be fun. That'll be real good. real good life,
Josh. But let everyone else be the suckers and the beta
testers.
Live
in the future, everybody, tomorrow.
Was that it on your wrong? Was that all we got?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, because we did a good job of going through in the first part.
Yeah.
And also, like you said, it's kind of hard to argue freedom's good.
Yeah, so actually, you're wrong. I don't agree with freedom.
Thursday, me and Imran are hosting. Friday, it's me and Tim. Don't forget, tomorrow is the Gamescast. Me, Tim, Fran, and Imran, 2 p.m., patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Also, something I should have been promoting and didn't. Today, this afternoon, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, 2 o'clock, Concrete Genie's developers are coming by to stream with Cool Greg.
I'm going to start playing that today.
Ooh.
Is it good?
I liked it a lot. I really
said the vibe out there looks, I mean, I'm saying a lot of positive coverage.
Of it. Yeah. It reminded me of a children's storybook meets the Goonies.
Kind of reminds me of a Double Fine game in many ways. 100%. It's the kind of game that Double Fine would make in a different reality.
Well, it's got that texture to it.
Yeah.
Like the world has that texture where, like, especially the cutscenes are awesome.
Do you think my kid will like it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.